And I was just thinking, like, you know, have you heard that saying? Lots of people say, even yourself, all we want to do is serve God, right? We want to serve God, love his people, move the world. It's a song that Salarico sung. Salarico from, well, he's from New York, wasn't he? He'd done a really great song. All I want to do is serve God. You can get it on YouTube if you put that title in and put Salarico. And that's all we do want to do. We want to, you know, live for God, serve him. But when you haven't got anything to do it with, it's a different story, you know. When you haven't got, like, if you take it from the position I was in, I thought you had to go through some training program or Bible seminar. And I had none of that stuff. Never had no education. Couldn't read or write, you know, when I left the school. I mean, I did learn to read because I wanted to read the Bible. And so God showed me how to read. And from the background I come from, my mind wasn't in a position to see myself doing anything massive. And, you know, and that's the point. We've got to see ourselves able to do. If you can't think you can do something, you won't even try and attempt to do it. But when I got born again of the Spirit of God, it was God working in me. And he has a purpose and he has the plan. And one thing I know, if you want to move with God or whatever it is you want to do with God, you can actually do that. You can do it. And because you can do all things through Christ which strengthen you. God works in you. God can orchestrate and change everything about in your life. Look, can you just close those curtains behind me, please? Yeah, so God can orchestrate everything in your life so you can become and do the things that he's putting in your heart to do. It's not that I've done any of this in my own effort or any of this in my own ability. And even like in Zechariah chapter 4 and verses 6 to 7, it says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, it's by the Spirit of God. It's by his mercy. It's by his grace. And God is the one that's orchestrating and arranging your life if you allow him, if you get out of his way, if you seek him with all your heart. Listen, if you want to do anything with God, he's got to be first. See, you don't have to have a PhD in education. You don't have to have a good background. You don't have to have your mum and dad with you. You don't have to have that nice, secure family unit like a lot of people do get. And there's a lot of people that don't have as well. You don't have to have none of that. All you have to do is have a heart to live for God and put him first. That's all he wants. He wants you to put him first. He wants you to seek him with all of your heart and to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength. And he wants you to love others as you love yourself. You know, he's looking for people that will do the right thing when no one's looking at you, that will seek after him, that will go to him, that will depend upon him, that will rely upon him. No, God says, trust in me with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. No, God is the source of our supply. He really is the source of everyone's supply. Even if you've got a job, even if you worked your butt off for years and years and years. You know, God gave you the energy. He gave you the breath, the strength. He gave you the opportunity, the faculties to do what you're doing. He opened those doors for you. And all you had to do is go and do what you're doing, right? In whatever capacity, in whatever field you live and work in this life. All you have to do is go and do it. And that's what God wants you to go and do. Go and do what he's put in your heart to do. That's all we are to do. I'm no one special at all. Absolutely no one special. I'm just Lawrence Torr, who was born in Croydon Hospital in Croydon, London, Southeast London, 25th of April, 1967. That was me, little boy there born to my mum. And my mum didn't even know who the dad was going to be. There you go. That's a good start I had. Right? Praise God. But God can take any situation and turn it about for his glory and for his goodness, you know. So here was I, born into this world, didn't even know who my dad was. My mum didn't even know who my dad was. But God had a plan and he had a purpose for me. And nothing in this world or outside of this world can stop what God has before ordained for me to walk in. Now, I might make a lot of mistakes on this journey. I might say a lot of things. I might rub up a lot of wrong people at different times and stages, and I know I have, you know. But still, God will keep me on the path that he wants me to be on, as long as I'm willing to walk on it, as long as I'm seeking him. So I just want to ask you, what are you doing? Right? Are you seeking God? Or are you trying to arrange what you think that he wants you to do? Are you trying to make it work for yourself, you know, because you got this PhD, or you got this master's degree, or you got a couple of connections that seem to be good? You can't depend upon anyone or anything. God wants to, God's a jealous God, right? He wants to be first. Just like if I didn't put Kim first above all the women in my life, she would be very jealous and she'd be ripping my head off, right? God is like that. He doesn't want you to have anyone before him. No other gods before you, right? Get rid of the things that you put before God. Even relationships, even people, even your kids, they can't be before God. If you want everything to be well with thee, God says, keep me first, and I'll guide you. And then what's important to you is important to me. The people, your money, your relationships, your emotions, your deliverance, the things that you need. It's all been provided for you. Everything's been provided for you. There's no sob stories. How can I say I've got a sob story? Like, people can look at me and say, well, you had it real tough, this happened, this. And yeah, that's what happened. But it's not a sob story. It's a miraculous story. It's a story of joy. It's a story that you could put in the cinema and everyone would pay to go and see it. How I come from darkness to light. How my life changed around. How God took this little pauper, millionaire slumdog type person and changed my life around and made me a million, billion, air in his eyes. You know, I'm precious. You know, when I got born again, all the angels of heaven rejoiced at me getting born again. All right? So I'm very special. I beat all those other little sperms to that egg. I'm a winner in life. I'm not a loser. You're a winner in life. You're the same. It's all about perspective, and we want God's perspective on things. And you are absolutely amazing. And it doesn't matter what anyone says about you. Listen, there's always, on my journey, my biggest adversary have been believers. Because people get jealous, or they don't like what you're doing, or they don't think you should be doing what you're doing. Who's he? Where does he come from? He hasn't been into any program. He hasn't learned anything. He's not qualified to do the job. But thankfully, God's outqualified. God already qualified me in Christ, like he's already qualified you in Christ. And all we have to do is do what God wants us to do. And the simple thing, the base rule, is to connect to God once we're born again, speak in tongues, use that spiritual ability, stay connected where God's connected. I'm telling you, this is so important, right? You can, you know, think, well, I'm free, I can do whatever I want. But God says, yeah, you are, but in the confines that he sets up for you to be free, right? And so God has placed every member in the body where it's pleased him. And he's, you know, he's not made us freeloaders where we just roam around and do what the hell we want. That God's a God of order, as he is in all the churches of the saints, as it says in the scriptures. God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God gives leaders to set in order the things that are wanting, to give the encouragement, to speak forth God's direction. That's what he'd done with the prophets in the Old Testament, didn't he? He had all these wonderful prophets that was given God's direction to the kings and to the people. And now God does it through gift ministers. That's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Some people are operating all five because that's where the need is, because there's no other ones rising up to operate. Have you got a gift ministry? Are you rising up in your gift ministry and operating it? Or have you got your mind set on your careers and making money? Because God can prosper you right where you are without even getting out of bed. He can multiply what you've got in your pocket and make you a millionaire overnight if he wants to. God can do whatever he wants. I'll tell you what, I'm not lying. I can show you from scripture he'd done this to one man called Solomon, who was going to be ruling over his people. And he appeared to him in a dream. What do you want? And what did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom. He asked for understanding. So he could move in and out amongst God's people, that he can give them direction. He can give the right encouragement, because it was such a great people to oversee and to lead. And God said, I'm giving you the wisdom. You got the wisdom, baby. And I'm so blessed. This, what you've asked, is the has really blessed me amongst anything that anyone could ask me. Because you've asked for wisdom, you've asked for an understanding heart, how to come in and out and judge my people and to lead them. But I'm also going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you long life. I'm going to give you the life of your enemies. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to make you rich above all the kings, make you, you're going to be glorious in your time. And God will make you glorious in your time with him if you put him first. So I think this message, what's coming to my heart, is God wants to be first, not second. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter what's exciting in your life. Is God first? Because if he isn't, then the other things will lack. And God doesn't want it to lack. And the reason why I'm saying, what's that? God's holding it back? No, you're stopping the flow. Like, have you heard when people talk about abundant sharing, putting your foot on the hose? Like, if you've got a hose pipe, there's water flowing through. But if you put your foot on the hose, you stop the flow of the water, right? So when our life isn't aligned up, there's kinks in our life. Yeah, there's kinks in our life. It's like someone's trod on us. And then, so there's no flow. The flow stops. In other words, we were getting answers to prayers. Oh, God was really answered. It seems like it's gone quiet. It seems like it's dried up. What happened? It seems like it's all gone downhill. That is, you know, that nothing seems to work for me. It's because when God isn't first in areas, we've put a kink in there. So the flow isn't coming. Bruce Lee said, be like water. Be flowing. Right, God wants to give us his heavenly flow. So he wants to be first. And sometimes we can put people above our relationships with God. We can put our own ministry above our relationship with God. We can put our own teachings above our relationship with God. We can put money above God. We can put our holidays above God. But we don't want to do none of that. Because I had nothing, and when I sought God, he gave me everything. He opened up every door. Everything I do in my life, because God has blessed me. Everything my family's doing is because God's blessed me, and through that, they've got blessed. All right? If I didn't take the stand I needed to take, we wouldn't have had a family. I wouldn't have been with him. Because we were doing too many things wrong. That would have destroyed the family unit. See, so things have got to be done in order, and the man should take the lead. Not that the man's the boss of the woman. Like, I'm the man of the house, so I'm the head of the house, you do what you're told, bitch. No, not that way, that's wrong. That is totally, utterly wrong. Because Kim is equal with me. She's equal. Right? She's got the say, just like I got the say. It's just when we can't decide on something that then I step up and be that head. No, we're going to do it this way because we haven't come to an agreement, so we need to do something. So I'll take on the responsibility as the head of this house and Christ be in my head, and I'll do and make this decision. And you know what? The man will always get blessed and the decision will always get blessed, even if it's wrong, because it's done with heart unto God. And it's done decent and in order. So God is a God of order. He doesn't just want us to do our own things, not even in our relationships. Like, we don't have to tell you nothing what we do, but I like to say, I like to be transparent because then I can share lessons from my life. Can we learn lessons from the life of Jesus Christ? Yes. Can we learn lessons from the life of Paul? Yes. Can I learn lessons from my minister's life? Yes. Can I learn lessons from the believers that are connected to him? I can learn a lot, yes. Right, so can you learn from my life? Yes. Can you learn from Kim's life? Yes. Can I learn from your life? Yes. And as we're humble with God, then we can see, all right, there's some needs that need to be met here. A lot of people are left to do their own thing, and God's like, that's not good. Like, even he said, it's not good that man should be alone, right? So he gave him a helpmeet. Or actually did cause the fall of man. Nobody joking. Well, she did, you know, but the man had his eyes open. He knew what he was doing, right? But the point is, someone's got to make the decision. Someone's got to take the lead, and God set that order up. And it's such a loving order. And just because I'm the head of the house doesn't make me above my wife. We are equal. She's also my sister in Christ, right? She's equal. But so how we work that is that if there's two bills to be paid and I think this one should be paid first and Kim thinks the other one should be paid first and we can't come to agreement on it, I say, okay, love, I'm going to take the decision on it, right? I'm the head of the house in that area. I'm going to be responsible overall. So if I screw up in my decision making there, it's going to be on me, not you. And she steps back and says, okay, love, I'll honor that, you know? Because it's not going to come back on her, it's going to come back on me. And I have made wrong decisions, by the way. And it does come back on me, right? And then I've made the right decisions, and then we both got blessed, you know? So it's like there's protection in the order of God. There's blessings in the order of God. You know, and we should be in order. And we should do things rightly. We should be loyal to what we're doing. I'm not loyal anywhere else. I'm loyal to connect to my minister, that's it. I'm not loyal to anybody else around him. I'm talking about connections now, that's what I mean. So my first connection is God, Lord Jesus Christ, my wife, and then outside of that is my minister, that's it. And they're the most important connections I got, you know. And I'm always taking the lead with God. And then I listen to what I'm being encouraged when I do my one-on-ones with my minister and we talk about different things. And there's things that come up and I think, oh, that's good. I'm going to move with that. I'm going to do that. And I just go to God, Father, show me what to do. Because what God gives us to do is very practical. It's not daydreaming. It's not mental assent. I'm going to move the word in all of the UK and the whole of Europe. And then I don't do nothing. It's not mental assent. There's things that God will give you to do. There's doors that God will open, but you've got to walk through the doors God opens. Listen, I've tried to open many doors. It don't work. It's got to be God-led. God is the one that's going to open the doors. God showed Paul where to go. God showed Jesus where to go and when to go, like he did with Paul. And like he did his prophets. And like he did his men and women throughout the time of this creation. Well, we got to be listening and we got to be humble. We can't be self-willed. We can't just please ourselves. That is not grace, because there's no safety in just pleasing yourself, but there is safety in pleasing God and sticking to God's grace. God's grace is with order. God's grace is with blessing. God's grace is with increase. God's grace is with healing and deliverance and direction. God's grace is that God is doing the work. But we need to go to God first and allow him to work. Allow him to navigate us. See, like with this fellowship now, all I had to do is make up my mind that I'm going to live unto God. I'm going to speak thy word. I'm going to speak what you put in my heart. And then make it available to people. And then just do that. That's all I've done. And I put the links out. Different people. People I've known in the past as well might get the links. Sometimes they get them. Sometimes they don't. All depends what God's working in my heart. Some respond. Some never respond. Some people respond after many years. And I never turn them away. But I know that I need laborers. See, I'm looking for a laborer. Jesus had 12 people. That was his nucleus, 12 laborers, 12 disciples. He had other disciples, but his nucleus, his close ones, the ones that drew near, the ones that came and asked questions, the ones that were asking him, what is the direction? What is the purpose? What is the rhyme? What is the reason? They went to Jesus one-on-one, face-to-face. They didn't pick up the cell phone then because they didn't have any. They didn't send an email because they didn't have any. They didn't send a letter. Well, they could have sent a letter, but they didn't send an email or anything because it wasn't available back then. So they went and sought him out. I mean, it's not hard for anyone to go and get the answers they need. The first port of call is God, right? We go to God. Father, I come to you. Show me what to do. He'll lead you to someone. unless he's going to put the answer straight in your heart, and or he has and you've missed it, he's going to bring someone to your attention, bring you to, you know, to your mind, someone that is walking with him, someone that is tried and tested, someone that has stayed around, that isn't in and out of different fellowships and different ministries, up and down, like a yo-yo, but someone that is faithful and abounding and moving, someone that is steadfast, always abounding. There might be some stagnant times as well. And we've had stagnant times, it's fine. Because the heart is God. So it's staying faithful, in season, out of season, good times, bad times, prosperous times, not so prosperous times. It's good to stay constant and faithful, constantly abiding. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I tell you to do. That's a bold statement. That would have got a lot of people offended in fellowship, in this fellowship. If I say to you, you're only my friends if you do what I tell you, you'd be thinking, what ego trip is he on? Who the earth do we think he is? But I've got every right to say that, by the way. And you have. If you're doing the will of God, if you're moving with God, if you're God-minded. Not God-minded for the day that fellowship's running, but you're God-minded every day. You know, you're focused every day to do what God wants you to do, not what you think you should do. And there's a big difference there. So God wants laborers, right? He knows where the laborers are, and God will connect them to me. And so I want at least 12 laborers, right? Or at least match what Jesus had. He had a lot more, but he had 12 ones that were close. I want 12 close ones. I haven't got them yet, but I'll get them. And I'm halfway there, definitely halfway there to that 12, right? And it's just a little measuring stick for me. Because I'm saying, God, I haven't got that yet. You know, I need more laborers. Now, you are the control tower, God. I'm Tours International Spiritual Airport. You need to send that one laborer that's equal to a billion to me. You need to send me the plane load of ready-to-go laborers. Tours International Airport is in service, is waiting for you to bring the planes in, the jumbo jets, the 777s, the 380s. Bring them on in, you know. I want the top quality laborers, the ones that are humble, the ones that are meek, the ones that will follow the encouragement, the ones that will receive the words gladly, the ones that equal what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. That with that heart. The ones that will continue in thy word that you give me to speak. That's what I want, laborers. So, you know, we've got some good experience here with God and with how God works, and we've got to know God. You know, fact, I can say I know God. I don't know him fully, but I'm getting to know him. He's a big God, right? And he works in so many different ways. There's so many sides of him that I haven't seen yet. But I know he's going to show me even more great and mighty things which I didn't know. And he's showing me now. And I asked him, could you give to me, God, the spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, like in Paul's prayer? Could you give that to me? Could you open up my spiritual understanding? Could you open up my spiritual eyes? Could you help me exercise my spiritual senses? Could you give me the knowledge of the holy? Could you do this for me, Lord? Ask and you shall receive. Ask for wisdom. And God won't upbraid you. He's given it to me. I've got it. I know I'm operating in it. I know I am. I don't have to second guess myself. I know when I'm speaking something to someone, when we're doing one-on-ones, I know when I know it's God. I'm like, this is God. I know in my heart, I'm thinking, this is God. There's no way I could say these words in the manner I'm saying them. And God really does give words. But there be there. See, if I'll give you an example. If someone's coming to connect to me, but they're not really hungry, the words won't be there to speak. They won't be there. Because God won't waste his words. So when someone is hungry, there's a need for that hunger to be fulfilled, right? So God will give the words. So I know when someone's genuine or not. That's how I can discern it. That I got something amazing to say, which I could never think of myself for that individual or for a group of people. In fact, I learn a lot of things through my one-on-ones that God has enlightened me with spiritually. And I'm thinking, and it's helped me to understand scriptures that I've read and never understood just through a one-on-one. Just that God's personally give me words to speak. And I'm thinking, wow. Like I was sharing with Frank Juvelet, who's working tonight. He can't make it tonight, but he sends his love to everyone. I was sharing with him, and God just gave me this wonderful thought. And it answered a lot of questions for me. And I'm doing the one-on-one for Frank, right? And what it was, I can't remember how the sentence went, but it was like, people are held captive by thoughts. Now, it could be a thought of the past, something. Maybe he was abused. Maybe he was, you know, seriously abused in some type of way. And the thought of that, what happened, is holds that person in bondage, right? When actually that, what happened, is no longer there. It's only in the mind. It's only in the remembrance, within the thought. So if that can be delivered, if that thought can be healed, the person's set free. Now, Jesus Christ come to set the captives free. That was a powerful thing. Because thoughts, as a man thinketh, so is he, right? As he thinks in his heart, so is he, it says in Proverbs. So it says we're to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. If you've been abused, that's an issue of life, right? And if you hold on to that thought, if that's what stops you from moving forward, then you're in bondage to that thought, because the action of what happened to you is gone. It's just the remembrance of it, right, which you need to be healed from. That's why we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, we can't renew our mind in our own effort. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit we renew our minds. We ask God, Father, help, renew my mind. Give me the right things. And that's why when we do the confessions, say what you want, not what you see. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am righteous. This is what I do. I am righteous. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am redeemed. I have the word and ministry of reconciliation. These are five of my sonship rights. I claim them now. This is my confession. I claim them now. I am an heir of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I live in the Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. I speak by the Spirit. I'm inspired by the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm seated at the right-hand side of God in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where I rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. I have a healthy body and a sound mind. Oh, God, you bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, that your hand is with me, and keep evil from me so it doesn't grieve me or cause me pain. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my borders. No, Jabez, he was held by a thought. And Jabez, his name in the Hebrew meant he was born in sickness and sorrow. No, in sorrow. In sorrow was he born. And his mother had a hard labor. So she called him Jabez because of that, right? So in sorrow, she bore him. So every time he was called Jabez, he was reminded of how he was born. But you know what? Those words that could hold him, because your name in the Hebrew times, ancient Hebrew times, would represent your identity. So that was his identity, you know, sorrow and pain. That was Jabez when, you know, hey, sorrow, hi, pain, how you doing? That's what they were basically calling the poor guy. But that didn't stop him going to God. See, he had labels put on him. How many labels have you had put on you? Oh, you're a slag, or you're a drunken, you're a whore, you know, you're a bastard, you're this, you're that. How many labels have you had put on you? You're nothing. You live in a third world country and come from a third world country. You'll never come to nothing. Your mind's in the wrong place all the time, so you're never going to grow. Like all these different labels that are put on people and circumstances and situations, when we believe them, That thought from those words can hold you where you are. But Jabez didn't let that keep him from going boldly to God. And he said, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Like, you know, and this is a very significant prayer he prayed, which shows you we can pray the same manner, because this was in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. But in that whole record, it's just all about genealogies, and it just came to Jabez. God wanted this to be made known, that Jabez, this little man here, out of all these genealogies, was mentioned. He didn't want that to be forgotten, that Jabez said, oh God, bless me indeed, and that your hand is with me, and that you keep me from evil, so it doesn't grieve me or cause me pain. He needed the blessings of God. He needed the protection of God. And I'll share more on this at another time. So there's lots to say about Jabez and about his name and about that prayer. There's four great lessons to learn from it. And we can learn them. It just shows us the goodness of God. It shows us our words are powerful. It shows us that we're not held by other people's perception of us, or even our own perceptions of ourselves. People always got to put a bloody label on people. You're an alcoholic. You have anorexia. You've got AIDS. You've got cancer. You've got this. No, I haven't. I am healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I am beloved. I am holy. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm a child of the Most High God. I've got Christ in me. I am as he is in this world. Can you see how important those things are to say? God wants us to say these words. He wants us to think the right things. And you don't have to have everything in order to move forward with God. All you have to do is want to do it and keep God first. This is not trying to control people. If you want to be blessed, then listen to what I'm saying. Seriously. And start doing what I'm telling you to do. Because if you don't, you'll just carry on doing what you're doing. You might be blessed with what you're doing. But if you really want to be blessed, if you really want to see growth, if you really want to see your finances multiplied, if you really want to see the word move in your area, where you live and where you are, you've got to be humble. And don't tell everyone your business. If you've got to tell someone your business, keep it minimal. Don't allow more damage to come. Have you heard that thing when something goes on and you go, oh, emotional damage? Well, when you're saying all your crap, there's emotional damage going on to you. So watch your words. Watch who you tell things with. Don't give away your game plan. Don't tell Satan what you're doing. Because when you're telling somebody else, that's what you're doing, basically. And just because it might be, unless you're sharing your heart with a believer that is a proven track record of being faithful, being loving, not a gossip, not sharing other people's business with everybody else, unless you can find someone like that, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anyone your problems. Only the ones that you can truly trust, the ones that have got your back, the ones that don't talk about you when you're not in the room. The ones that will stand up for you when you're not in the room and other people are talking about you. That's the people you need. Because I'm telling you now, and this is true, in life, you ain't got no more than five friends. And you can't count no more than five friends on your hand. I don't care who you are. You ain't Jesus, that's for sure. You are as he is. And not even he had many friends, did he? Because everyone left him at the end. Right? Don't think you've got special friends. You might have more special friends than someone else, but when push comes to shove, when everyone's walked away from you, when your bank's dried up, when your ego's gone, when everything's left you, whoever's around is your real friend. And you'll probably find it's someone that's just locally that you just met, not long met. There's not one family member in my life that comes near me. I'm outside of my immediate family. Not one. And my heart was always with them. It still is with them, you know, because they don't see who they are. And they don't recognize who I am. And it's a sad thing because we helped them out. We helped all of them out. All of them got born again. And none of us give us any recognition about anything. We're nothing, you know. It's just Lawrence and Kit. You know, that's the way they are. They're always on about God, you know. That's it. And what a load of crap that is. And that's true. And they're probably, they can hear this. This goes on the website. I know they listen to it sometimes. But that's the truth. And I'll tell them to their face. Because I love them, so I'll be honest with them. That's what you want. That's a real friend. Someone will say, listen, look, you're going down the wrong road there. You need to change this. I can help you if you want. I can pray for you if you want. If you want me to help you, I'll tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth. Let me give you a hand. If you don't, that's fine. I respect it. If you want me to just pray, I'll just pray. So anyway, this is what is in my heart that God has kind of rose up for me to share with you all. And, but this stuff is true and it might even hit, you know, hit you a little bit. But the point is, like, God is with you. You can do whatever you want with God, but he wants to be first. You've got to have him first. Don't expect all these blessings if he ain't going to be first. And it's not because he's withholding anything. It's because you're stepping on the hose pipe. Like I said, if you put a kink in the hose pipe, you stop the flow of water, right? That's what we do when we don't honour God. That's what we do when we're not transparent with God. That's what we do when he ain't first. But here recognise you putting him first in what you're doing. Like, I could have made an excuse and we could have gone away for the weekend. Oh, I can't do fellowships, like my computer's playing up. Or it's too hot to do it. Or something like I could have made... I've never made an excuse. I've never missed one fellowship. Not one. So, like, I look forward to coming on here. Do you? Or is it a duty for you? Oh, I better go and show my face. If you've got to do that, you best off not coming. Or go to God and ask for a change of heart. So that you can receive. That you can be blessed. You can be edified. Because you can learn a lot from everyone on it. We just need to stay humble. I'm not saying anyone is that way, by the way. It's just come to my heart to say it. So I'm saying that. So you are all amazing. And you're all well loved. And nothing can stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Don't be sidetracked by anybody else. No one's better than you. No one's bigger than you in ministry. What God will do with one, he'll do for you. He's looking for more people that will rise up, that will do the fellowships, that will travel, that will get on the planes, that will spend time away from their family, that have a desire and hunger to see other people to come to the knowledge of the truth, that are not running after their own things all the time, because I'm certainly not running after mine. It's running after me, baby. The blessings of the Lord are chasing me down and overtaking me, and you know it, right? You know it, don't you? Especially those ones close to me, they know the blessings that come to me. And it's because I keep God first, not because I'm anything different. Sandgate gets all the blessings because he keeps God first in the things that he's doing. I keep God first in the things that I'm doing. I get blessed tremendously. I'm spoiled. People think I'm a spoiled brat. I'm not. So I never used to have jack shit. But I am blessed by my God. And you can be blessed just the same. God is not... You don't even have to be full-time to get the same blessings I get. It's called faith. Ask God. If you need resources, finances, he'll do it for you. But are you willing to do what I do? Keep him first. He's got to be priority all the time. All the time. All the time. It's not hard to do. It's a pleasure to do it. You see what I'm saying?